Welcome to Crafty People and Things to Do, a weekly blog and podcast of the New England craft brewing scene. Join us each week to learn about the many breweries, brew pubs, and craft beer shops in the region, along with the fun events and people that drive the business of craft beer. I'm Scott Barnett, your craft beer enthusiast and host. So let's get started learning about this week's Crafty People and Things to Do. Just up Route 24, north of Fall River, you can get yourself some really good craft beer from the exceptional people at Crew Brew in Raynham. I spoke with the head of the crew, Kevin Merritt, on the origins of the brewery and what they have in store for when you stop by. Check it out. I'm here at Crew Brew in Raynham, Massachusetts, with Kevin Merritt, the owner and brewer here at Crew Brew. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing? Nice to meet you, Scott.
Yeah. Tell me, how did Crew Brew come about? You were somehow dabbling in your basement, weren't you?
No. So we started out, we went on a brew tour at Newport Storm and Distillery down in Rhode Island. And on the tour, the guy said that this place is run by 8 to 10 full-time people and a bunch of part-time people. And I looked at my wife in a drunken stupor, and I was like, we can do that. And she said, all right. And so that was 7 years ago. And so the problem was I didn't know how to brew, which is a problem for a brewery.
Sure.
And yeah. So what I did was I joined the South Shore Brew Club, and I met the guys from Bog Iron. I met the guys from Shoveltown. I met Keith Carballo from Troy City. And I learned to brew with those guys for the past 6-7 years.
Right.
And then we just opened up this past summer.
Wow. So, first of all, why your wife didn't slap you silly and say, come back to your senses,
I don't know.
You know, mine at least said to me, do something like this. You know, Right. Why don't you talk with brewers? Because I've talked about becoming a brewer or having a brewery all for probably the past 8 or 10 years.
All right.
And still only, you know, dabble in making it in the basement.
Yeah.
And that was my reference there. What did you learn in the early years of making the beers that made you say, wow, I'm making this good enough that I can go to the next level? Because that's really where you got to take the leap.
Yeah, I think we tried a bunch of different recipes. Kevin Cardell, a neighbor up the street, he helps brew here as well. And some of our neighbors also helped us in terms of what they liked and what they didn't like. And so one of our golden ale is named Schlager after the Slikers who live right next to me. They came over and tasted a lot of beer, so we kind of just named that beer after them. And then we had some recipes like the porter you're drinking now. We had maple syrup to that, Madagascar vanilla beans. People seemed to like it, and so we just kept going with some of those recipes.
So it takes a village to build a brewery.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But, you know, that harkens back, and I've talked with others about this, to the day when in the 20s and 30s, barring Prohibition, there were breweries in every neighborhood.
Right.
And part of it was that water was not really good for you. And so the male drink of the day was something that was a little stronger,
right,
that killed the disease that was in the local water. Today, we're seeing now a lot of your smaller breweries like you guys regionally in your area. Tell us how this region has supported you and helped you get the business off the ground.
Goodness. All the guys around here are great. You know, there's Paul at Black Hat, which is a little while away, the guys at Bog Iron, the guys at Shoveltown. When we got started, we didn't know we would sell as many cans as we did, and so we ran out of cans, and I called up Paul at Black Hat and said, hey, we ran out of cans, can you help me out? And he helped us out with some cans. I was brewing a stout, and I ran out of some lactose, the milk sugar, for the beer, and I called around, and Bog had some. So I went over to Bog, and Brian got me some lactose, and that was great. So all of them helped me out with. Not only that, some of the guys talked about the brew space and what they would do if they had an opportunity to do it again. So that really kind of helped the design of our brewery.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about that. Tell us what you have here in terms of capacity. Are you doing the canning here? Are you doing labeling here? What do you got going on back there?
Yes, we can and we label everything right here, right up front. We want to start canning more in the back of everything that we have. And then our floors are sloped back there, and we have space for increased capacity. So everyone was saying that make sure you build for the future so you can expand in the future. And so that's what we've done. I'll take you on a tour after, and you can see kind of the layout of how this is done.
Excellent. And what barrel capacity are you?
We're a five-barrel system right now. And right now we can brew about 45 barrels of beer.
Nice. Yes. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the varieties. Right now we're trying the CB Porter. What's the story behind CB and then the other varieties that you have?
So we didn't want to just have IPAs. We wanted to have a full range of beers. And so the Porter was one of our first beers. The Red was really our first beer, Rainham Red. That I did that in extract version first, and then we changed a little bit. We changed the finishing hops. We tried Centennial. We tried Amarillo. We tried some other hops, and we came back to Amarillo as our hop for the end of that boil. But we wanted to do a wide range, so we have usually a light beer on tap, a fruit beer on tap. We have an amber ale. We have a red ale. We have our porter. Sometimes we have a stout. And so we just like to mix it up. We have two IPAs and a New England IPA that are in the rotation.
What's the most challenging beer for you to make?
The most challenging beer are the fruit beers. It's just knowing how much to put in, how much to add. We made a mango beer that my wife cut up all the mangoes and we threw them into the fermenter. I didn't know if it would work out, if it would get an infection or something, but it worked out. And that one we added too much hops. And so that was, you know, mama's mango.
Right.
And that was kind of difficult because we wanted something a little bit lighter. And so we made a lighter mango beer, and that was called Skinny Mama.
Oh, there you go.
And so we kind of went, so that was kind of difficult just because getting the fruit flavor you want from the beer.
Right. So the experimentation you got you something useful. It just wasn't what you were looking for.
Right.
Now, when you scale that up, I mean, obviously the homebrew roots are the 5 gallons or 7 gallon right. makes. Do you have a small tank you use for experimentation to try to test out the new recipes and then scale it up?
No, lately we've been just trying it right on the system. And then if we like it, you know, we'll sell it here and sell it out sometimes to restaurants and to places around here. And if we don't, we've only had to dump one or two batches
right.
that we have had to dump down the drain. But okay. other than that, we've been pretty lucky.
Great, great. Now, what is your distribution model? Is it just here at the brew hall, or do you sell cans out of here, or do you have a distribution outside of the brewery?
So right now we're just distributing from here, but we do have 5 gallon kegs that go out to some of the restaurants, and we'll be doing more of that this summer. Since I'm off, I'm a teacher, so I'm off this summer. So we'll ship some more 5 gallon kegs out, and then we'll start canning more. And some of the local liquor stores have expressed interest in having our beer, so we'll can and we'll ship it out to those guys. And that'll right. be what we start out with.
In a recent discussion with a few brewers, the challenge of distribution is really fighting for space on that shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found the same to be true when you talk to restaurants, or is there a feeling of let's go local?
There's a lot of let's go local lately, and a lot of restaurants just want a 5 gallon corny just so they can just try it out, kind of.
Right.
So
right.
that's what we've found so far. So they'll try it, and then if they like it,
and if
go
it
back.
Moves for them, then they'll call you back. They
yeah.
want more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too many places attempt to be the local craft beer place, and they have 14 lines or something, and only 7 of them move fast, or they switch them all to IPA and they all move.
Right.
And then you can never get a different variety in on those lines.
Because,
you know, from an economic point of view, you're going to sell what sells.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And so I think we want to go out with our amber, with our Fire Pit Amber Ale. I think we're going to go out with that more, and with our Rainham Red. I think those are two that we're going to go out there, because there's a bunch of IPAs out there. There's a bunch of everything else out there. So. That's
yeah, I've said this before. You probably heard it on the other shows that everybody, everywhere you go, should have either a basic amber or a basic red on tap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you want to be call yourself the IPA house, you
right.
know, International House of IPAs, whatever. But you should have something that has that medium range beer, because, you know, people that are just trying craft beer for the first time. Don't tend to go to the extremes and try the heavy-duty IPAs right off the bat. They want something that they're close to what they're used to.
Right. And so that's, in an effort to do that, what we've done here, too, is we also have blends. So we have like a Philly Mule. We take one of our beers, Kegger, which is actually named after one of our friends, Jeremy Molesky. He has a Kegger tattoo on his shoulder.
I was going to say, he's a little guy, right?
So we we named the beer after, and actually Kevin Cardell named the beer after Jeremy, and so that was Kegger. And what we've done is Jeremy's from Philly, and so we took Kegger, we mixed it with a little ginger beer and a shot of lime juice, and we call that our Philly Mule.
Wow.
And okay. So people that want to experience the space, want to come see the live entertainment, they'll come and they'll have a Philly Mule, they'll have a Kegger, and they'll kind of just enjoy themselves here.
Cool.
We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment, but it's time for the Crafty Beers of the Week. This summer, we found a surefire winner in the collaboration between Rhode Island's Ragged Island and Vermont's Hermit Thrush Breweries in the smooth-drinking Rye, Rye, Rye. This rye saison is a pure summer refresher with a dry finish, slight hops, and a spice flavor that satisfies on a porch or in your backyard. Available in cans or at the brewery in Portsmouth. Now back to this week's Crafty People.
Tell us a little bit about your customers. Mostly local, or are you attracting people from all areas? And is it a mix of hardcore crafters, or is it testers?
I think we get a mix of everything here. It's an older crowd, though, definitely. So I know we've looked at statistics and stuff, and it's been like 38, 45 and up kind of has been our crowd. And like I said, we have entertainment on Thursday nights, and that's an acoustic guy, usually does an acoustic, and we have a relaxing crowd. And then every once in a while, we'll have our New England IPA come out, and then we'll get the beer crowd that will come in and go for that. And a lot of the beer crowd, like on Untappd, really like the porter.
Right.
And so we'll try to keep the porter year round. So I think it's a mix of everything. On Sunday, we get a lot of beer people that are get the Mass Brewers Guild app and are just checking breweries out around the area. So we get a lot of that on Sundays usually.
Sure. Okay. And you're in an industrial area that has a large parking lot. Do you get to do food trucks? Do you get to do music outside, or is it always inside? Tell us what goes on here event-wise.
Yeah. So event-wise, we have food trucks occasionally. My wife tries to get those scheduled for the weekends and stuff like that. And we might have a food truck tonight, Biggie's, because we're having our summer kickoff party tonight, and Bobby Kane is coming to play. And we've done yoga in the morning. We've tried different events. I think my wife is scheduling a comedy show in August. So just a space where people can gather together and just have a good time.
Great. So from an entertainment point of view, the music's weekly. Is it regular? Like if every Thursday night, I can go to Crew Brew and there'll be somebody playing?
Yes. So every Thursday night we have an entertainer playing, and then once a month we have open mic night on Friday night.
Nice, that must be interesting.
Yeah, so that's really fun. So that's kind of the entertainment schedule. We have entertainers booked, I believe, until December. They were booked on every Thursday until December right now.
How big of a crew does Crew Brew have?
Well, there was the original crew, which is a bunch of families that used to hang out together and go travel together and go places together. After Tammy and I decided we were going to do a brewery, we were out drinking, which is where good ideas come from. We were drinking on a porch, and Kirsten Yates was saying that, it's kind of the crew. She had a group of people that she went to football with that she called the crew, and we were kind of the crew of people that hung together. She's like, why don't we just call it Crew Brew? And so Kirsten named us, and that's how we became Crew Brew.
Wow.
We're CRUE because we were thinking about CREW. But whenever we went anywhere, people were like, do you guys row? Do you row?
Right.
We're like, no, we don't row. So we changed it to CRUE.
And crew, if you drop the E, has that sort of elite kind of, it's heavy. It's a high-end beer.
You know? I hope so.
Well, we can guarantee them that when they come out, they're going to have some good stuff to taste. We featured one of your beers earlier in the year on a show, and this porter is excellent. It's a fine example of just a nice square in the face porter, and has that, if not coffee note, just that chocolatey coffee note that's right there that makes it hang where it's supposed to.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. I think it's is it Edmund Fitzgerald at Ohio, I think, porter that's really good, and it's kind of in that ballpark, you know.
Oh, thank you very much.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit more about the Brew Club. So how many of when the first year you were in it, how many of those guys now are operating breweries or associated with breweries, and do you still get together as a brew club?
Yeah, so I think at the beginning it was just Bog Iron. And then since then, Shoveltown has opened up. Keith has opened up Troy City in Fall River. And I think that's it for right now. But, you know, some of the guys have worked at other breweries at, you know, Trillium and at Castle Island and different places like that. So the guys are all over the place. They just have a passion for beer. And it's really a really fun group of guys to hang out with. And I haven't been able to get to as many meetings lately as I've wanted to because of here and teaching, but
And the old timers, so to speak, like yourself, still come back and share some ideas, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So if a new interested member in the region wanted to look into the South Coast Brew Club,
Brew Club, right?
How would they contact them? How would they get involved?
Fridays or Saturdays or. Randy likes to talk about the South Shore Brew Club, and he's one of the guys that works here.
Okay,
and
great.
So they would definitely get you know great. All yeah. the knowledge they need. And we've had a lot of people that have come and liked our beers, join the Brew Club, just right. through talking to Randy and different stuff like that.
Excellent.
As Crew Brew expands its footprint in the region, look for its great beer at your local restaurant or package store. Kevin and the crew have a great space for friends to gather. Add to that the great beer and entertainment offered, and you'll be sure to have a good time. So get out to Raynham and check out these exceptional people with exceptional beer.
And where do you get your brew supplies around here for the home brewer? And then we can talk a little bit about more of your supply line for the business.
Oh, for the home brewer, I go to Weymouth Home Brew Emporium. Okay. And there's a Witch's Brew that's in Foxborough. So those guys are great as well. In Plymouth. There is Indie Firm,
right?
So yeah. I've gone to all of those to get brewing stuff when I was home brewing.
Great.
Oh goodness, in Tamarack, sorry, in Lakeville.
Oh nice.
Lakeville. So you know I would be doing something in the garage and forget an ingredient and call Dave and run down there and get it in Lakeville. So that's another place that I go.
And brewing supplies for on the large scale.
Yep.
Are you getting them local or is it a mix of local and regional or national?
A mix of local and regional. We use BSG down in Providence for a lot of our grains and stuff, and then the hops we order from Yakima Valley. But recently, Stone Path opened up in Wareham, and so they're a maltster, and we brew now kegger with just Stone Path malts. And so we're trying to go regional. We're trying to use them a little more for our malts because they're local. And we have not used Valley Malt that much lately, but hopefully we do in the future. They're out in out Western Mass.
What's on the agenda down the road for the next new or different beer you're going to make?
We just did our blueberry beer that had 30 pounds of blueberry puree in it, and it's so blue it's purple. And so we released that a few weeks ago on Prince's birthday.
That was
kind of a thing. I think we want to get into some barrel-aged stuff and get into some Saisons and that kind of thing. So I think that's our next step and kind of what we want to do with brewing.
Excellent. And coming up this summer, what do you have on tap in terms of events in the next month or so?
Geez, pretty far away in October, we have our Farmers Brew Fest, and that's going to be at Black Hat in Bridgewater. That's, I believe it's October 20th. So the Patriots aren't playing that weekend. There's nothing going on, and that should be great. The 22 breweries around here usually all get involved and do that one. And actually, they've formed the South Shore Brew Syndicate, I guess you call it, where the 22 breweries around here try to meet every few months and just discuss beer stuff and stuff like that. That's been really good.
And review the Patriots schedule to make sure you can work around it.
Yeah. I thought that was a good move. I was like, all right, good.
Well, Kevin, it's been great talking to you about what's happening here at Crew Brew in Raynham,
yep.
Massachusetts. It's easily located right off exit okay, no exit.
495, yeah.
So, no, it's right off of 495, and then you get on 138. Mm-hmm. Easy to find, easy parking, in and out, nice big space. It's a very welcoming space and a really good. You did a really great job of the use of this, you know, basically warehouse type space and turned it into what really has a homey feel.
Thank you very much.
All right, good talking to you.
Good talking to you too.
That's all we've got for this week on CPTD. Tune in again next week to stay in touch with the New England brew scene as we talk with more crafty people and highlight some great things to do. For Crafty People, I'm Scott Barnett.